Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with an artist who is truly inspiring. Her work is gorgeous, and she's a mom of girls. Her name is Jen Garrido. Her art is truly phenomenal, and I'm excited for you guys to hear a bit of her story about how her art came to be and what her self-care looks like. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. This is Jen Garrido's story. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad we've been able to, you know, finally make this work. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to talk with you just about all of the things you have going on, your art, your mothering, all of that. But I don't want to give your introduction away. So can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name is Jen Garrido. I am a fine artist and make work under the name Jen Garrido. And then I also have another business and an alter ego named Jenny Pennywood, and that is my home textile line. I have two kids, one's 7 and one is 8 months old. We live in San Francisco. There's probably more, but
that's fine. That's you in a nutshell, and that is awesome. Thank you. So I want to dive right in. So I forget how I found you, but I know it was probably through CSUN, which was a brand of yours and still is a brand of yours, right? You guys are relaunching, correct?
Yeah. So we took a pretty substantial hiatus. And then, yes, we are launching a mini collection of just women's and kids' tops. So yeah, we're relaunching.
I'm so excited about that. But that's how I found you. And I had the pleasure of meeting you at In Good Company's conference in September. And I was having a fangirl moment. I just was
you
so excited.
Not.
I literally was having a fangirl moment. And I had just bought the swaddle and the wrap from Solly Baby, the collaboration that you guys had. So when I saw that you were there, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do I say? She's so great. I love her work.
That's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous. Because I was having also a fangirl moment too, because I do follow you on Instagram and I'm a big fan.
And
so
I'm just
like, oh wow. Well, because when you did buy the stuff from CSUN, I remember Lena was like, Alex L. just bought some stuff from CSUN. And I was like, what? I don't know. We were excited.
I was thrilled. And so funny, my 10-year-old, she was actually wearing her CSUN the other day, her leggings. So I'm just, goodness, I'm just so happy to have you on. Okay, so let's dive in. So we have a little bit of information about who you are. And I really want to talk about your journey through entrepreneurship as a mother of two and living in San Francisco as a fine artist, and also, you know, just how you're navigating that space of motherhood and being an artist. So I guess let's start with some background of how you chose fine art and when did you fall in love with art?
I've always loved art. Even as a kid, like, I'm not the best student, even though I was sort of in these like excelled classes. I think I'm just really good at memorizing things. So at a certain point, like when that stopped in high school, I started taking more art classes. So I was taking like art classes instead of math, which was, who let me do that? I have no idea. But I did that. And so when I applied for college, I applied only to the art program. And I went to Sonoma State in Northern California. And I just remember taking some classes and then bam, it sort of hit me. I was like, oh, this is what this means, you know, because like it's not almost enough to like want to be an artist. You also have to like embody it in your body, you know, like there's some sort of internal language that begins to form. And it just struck me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was maybe 19 or 20 when I started to sort of really understand what that meant. And at that point, that's all I did.
That's awesome. How has your love for art and creating impacted how you move through the world? Because I feel like I have a lot of friends who are fine artists, actually. I have like 5 or 6 friends who majored in fine art in college.
Mm-hmm.
And how they move through the world, I feel like they see differently. You guys see art in everything, in the way the wind blows, in how a building may look, in how the colors intertwine in the sky that day, you know, and I know that may sound so dramatic, but it's the truth. And I just wonder how that love of art has impacted how you move and navigate through the world.
There's so many different ways in which to be an artist in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I started out as a fine artist. So painting and drawing is my thing. I'm very process oriented. And I feel like I bring that process-oriented, creative, problem-solving way of thinking to sort of everything I do, even like sort of down to like when I used to wait tables, I almost feel like it was an art as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds silly, but like there's just something about the way like the brain sort of picks up on figuring things out. I do that at home while I'm cooking dinner, and I do it in the exact same way as when I'm like sitting here trying to figure out how to make a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to figure out how to like get a shirt made. Yeah, I mean, there's just, I feel like it applies to all different kinds of things, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So how did you figure out, okay, I'm going to start my own line, I'm going to sell my artwork, and then you've turned your artwork not only into things you can hang on your wall in your house, but things you can wear and things you can just have around in the home, like your dish towels and pieces of that nature. When were you deciding, this is what I want to do, yes, and I also want to do this and that with my art as well?
That's been quite a journey, actually. So I went to undergraduate school. And I majored in, I got my BFA in painting, like a diehard painter.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel on the inside and that's what I wanted to do. So then I went to graduate school at Mills College in Oakland. Something happened there. I did not have a good experience. Granted, I was really only like 24, 25, 26 years old. So I really hadn't made art outside of the, an educational setting. So then I went back into graduate school. It wasn't the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of different opinions about people going to get their master's in fine art for studio art because of my experience. It just was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my painting got lost somewhere. So I started doing photography, which was fine. And back then, like, there was not even a digital camera.
Oh, wow. So
sad how old
film?
I am. wait, I don't even think I had email back then. And this was in like 1999. And then I got out of graduate school and I felt very beaten down. I stopped doing art. I decided I wanted to be a kindergarten through eighth grade art teacher. So I ended up doing that. And then I started to revisit my practice. So things sort of started to slowly like reintegrate themselves into my life, like my art studio practice. And then in 2008, when I turned 30, I decided I'm not going to teach anymore. If I want to be a full-time working artist, it's either going to happen now or never.
Mm.
So I quit my teaching job. And at that time, I had some galleries that I was working with. I was an affiliate artist at the Headland Center for the Arts, which is like a beautiful art space at the coast up in Marin. And so I quit teaching. I was doing full-time art. Everything was going really well. And then the economy dumped. So in 2008, everything that I was doing that was making me money stopped.
Mm.
All my galleries closed, and I did not sell another painting for several years after that.
How did that impact your belief that you could live off your art? Was it immediately kind of discouraging? Like, how were you able to come back from that?
Well, there's a whole backstory too, because I had always thought that I was going to be this certain kind of artist. I wanted to be in like high-end art galleries, selling my work and just painting, like very romantic, very fine art driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had felt like I was on that path. And a few things kind of had come up during that path that was pushing me away from that path. A few blogs posted about my work, and my work kept getting pushed into this very commercial space, but I kept fighting against it. I'm like, I don't want to be a commercial artist.
Right.
And I was feeling really bad about that. Like there was something wrong with working more commercially. At that time, like that's what I was thinking and feeling. So in 2008, when that economy crashed, I had to really think of what I was going to do. And so what I decided to do was give myself an alter ego, Jenny Pennywood. Mm-hmm. And she would be my commercial, like, lady. I started doing weddings. I would take all my commercial work that way. And that's how I started to make money, is through Jenny Pennywood. And Jen Garrido just sort of sat there and, like, relaxed.
Right.
And so that was my response to the economy falling apart, was like basically creating a new person within myself. And I always have wanted to be a businesswoman, have my own business, work for myself. I always felt drawn to that. Mm-hmm. I was never sure how that was going to look.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas 4 times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue, and it's shaped like the flower, and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo Tie-Dye Bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. It's so funny how that happens, right? Like, we have all these plans for our lives and our futures, our careers, and how they look to us. And then we're smacked with these detours that completely shift our narratives. And like, for instance, you said that you didn't want to be a commercial artist. You were really pushing against that. And then that's how you ended up making your comeback or your money while being able to still do the art, but just in a different form.
Exactly. Yes. And it's like, and it really, like, I do feel like I'm two different people. Like, I feel like I have such a desire to keep my painting practice going.
Right.
And I also have such a deep desire to be this, like, bustling small business owner.
Yeah.
There's just something about all of that, like being my own boss and being other people's bosses. Like, I really like that idea. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a good manager. Like, there's a lot of different qualities to both. But I feel like Jenny Pennywood is very much about protecting the, I still am very protective over my art practice.
Right.
And every idea in my mind that I have about sort of expanding into my, into Jenny Pennywood and making her bigger has everything to do with like continuing to carve out space for Jen Garrido's painting.
Yeah.
And the idea that I have these both of these people has always been like, well, when one's up, one's down. Mm-hmm. Like I could work on one while the other one's slow. Well, right now, over the last couple of years, it's just both of them are sort of neck and neck. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm definitely going into a new place with my work.
I feel like that happens a lot in entrepreneurship, specifically mm-hmm. in the creative career. So with that being yeah. said, how do you balance motherhood and your creative career? Because I know that that can't be easy. It's never easy for us trying to do both, but we find a way, right? So how have you found your way in mothering and creating?
For me, like my personality is just to like keep going. Like I'm not the kind of person who is going to like take a break after having a baby.
Yeah.
So with Juna, I just like went back. Like within a week, I was back at the studio because I had orders to ship and like paintings to make and kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
Even though I was like bleeding and uncomfortable and whatever, I still came mm-hmm. to the studio. And with my first daughter, I didn't have the same kinds of things going on as I do now. So she was born in 2011, in January 2011. So it really was like right after we got married and then I got pregnant and things had not grown mm-hmm. yet mm-hmm. in terms of my career. So I was still making my art but I was really depressed like mm-hmm. after Gemma because I felt this sort of lacking in my life. I just didn't have anything going on. Mm-hmm. There was actually no Instagram then either. So, mm-hmm. so there was really no, I had to work really hard at connecting with people and getting out into the world. And in that sense, like there was really no balance. Like I was just doing motherhood and I knew that with Juna, like I was going to just go back to like ward off all of those feelings. Yeah. And as far as like just getting the work done, I just trust that it's going to get done. I guess there's no real balance in it. It's like if I have to come to my studio late at night, then I will. If I have to come to studio like Saturday morning for a couple hours just to paint one thing, then I will. It's kind of like day by day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's no like larger plan in place yet yeah. in terms of how it's all going to work, which is hard for me.
But I really like that you say that because it's the reality, right? You know, yeah. so many women don't have a break. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to give an example of myself. Like I literally forced myself. So my oldest is 10. And then it's a long time.
Yeah.
And then I have Isla, who is a newborn. And during my pregnancy, I shut down everything. I stopped my book tour. I closed my skincare line and I really made the conscious choice to turn inward and to really uh-huh. take care of myself because when I had Charlie, I was in, you know, I was going into college, I was working, you know, I was hustling, bustling. There was no break. And yeah. I wanted to be really intentional about nurturing myself during this pregnancy, but I knew that was a privilege. Like I know that there are so many women out there who can't do that. You can't just stop and shut shit down and
yes.
focus in on yourself. Yeah. So I'm really happy that you said that because once Isla got here, you know, I definitely started slowly but surely getting back into the groove. And I kind of struggled with a little bit of guilt too, because I'm like, okay, I have to get back to work. You know, I have to work on my second project. I've gotten my advance for this this book already. I can't just completely be like, okay, I'm just going to kind of whimsically prance through life, even though I wish I could, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
But how I found that balance by taking breaks when I needed them, it was through the little things, right? Like not being, you know, on my phone all the time, you know, answering emails and texts and conference calls and Instagram and all this, and really trying to still work, but also be introspective And it's hard to do. It's really hard to do, especially when you're back into the swing of work and you're like, I need to ship this order. I need to turn this contract in. I have this collaboration phone call. I need to do X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, how am I going to get it done with self-care involved? So with that said, does self-care show up in your life these days, or is it hard? And I think this is a good conversation to have. And I like how this flow is going, because I know a lot of people look at me and other women who talk about self-care, and they're like, how do you self-care with kids, with a husband, with a job, with a 9-to-5 job? Like, I don't have time to do that. How are you doing it, if you are, or how do you want to do it better?
Like my late 20s up until like maybe when I, until I was like 38, I was in therapy, and I probably spent, I don't even know. Like I, when I added it all up one year, cause I was in psychotherapy and I was going 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous how much money I was spending, but that was part of me getting good with me. Mm-hmm. My husband makes fun of me and like, and then also gets mad at me. He's like, why do you spend so much money on this self-care stuff? So I go to the chiropractor, mm-hmm. I go to acupuncture. I talk to my clairvoyant people because that really helps me. Mm-hmm. Like it really helps me get centered. I feel like if I don't go get that massage that I need to go get, I feel like I'm going to suffocate. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not like keeping up with those things that make my body and brain work together, then so many other things are not possible.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, like it does.
My parents are not self-care people. And my sister just recently started doing so much self-care. She wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning exercising, like she does her essential oils, like, and you really see this like difference vibing off of her. It's pretty exciting. I'm totally okay with like almost spending all the money that I have and all the ways to make me feel like I can like take on the world.
So how about when people don't have the money to, massages and the chiropractor and essential oils and things like that? Because I know sometimes people have even asked me, like, you know, I don't have money for, you know, a manicure or a massage. And I tell people all the time, self-care doesn't have to be expensive. You know,
that's
self-care
right.
can take 5 minutes of sitting at your desk, breathing, doing your meditation, taking out your journal for 5 minutes and writing down how you're feeling in that moment. So when it comes to you, you know, maybe you're not having a financial self-care week, right? And you really just kind of need to step away from home or the husband or the kids. Where do you retreat to as an artist and a mother and a wife to be able to kind of find your center in those moments when you just need like 5 minutes?
First, I'd like to preface this by actually, I don't have any money. So like all the self-care that I do is, I still do it even though we are financially struggling. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to say that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I feel very lucky that painting helps me get centered. It helps me have that internal conversation that I need to have with myself. I have an ongoing journal on my computer. And when I need to talk to myself, that's where I go. And it's always open. And sometimes I just go there and write 2 words or 5 sentences or whatever. That's always really helpful. I think that fresh air really helps.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I feel like that's the freest, best self-care for myself is to like go on a walk with a friend. Hiking is really nice.
A lot of people find that nature is the best medicine.
Yes, totally. I don't get to go hiking as much as I used to, but I do have one friend that I go on hikes with that it's like walking, talking, therapy, meditation or something. But I don't get to do that very often, but that's free.
That is free. Nature is always free. You can go outside and just breathe for 5 seconds. Yes. Raising daughters and having them be 7 years apart.
Yeah.
How does it feel for you? How does it feel for you to be a girl mom, number one? Because I love it. I love being a girl mom. And I have learned to love this age gap. It's very new. I kind of feel like even though I have a kid already who, you know, I've mothered and she's 10, I do feel like this new experience with Isla has opened up so many things that I have either forgotten or just didn't experience with Charlie. So I was wondering, how has that worked for you and your girls being 7 years apart?
Well, so far, it's so lovely seeing the older one loving on the younger one. And we are not experiencing that, I wouldn't say like the jealousy, the sibling rivalry. I feel like when they're close in age, I hear people talking about that, but I don't see that with my girls, which is nice. Gemma's the older one, and I had her when I was 36. So I see her getting older, and she's like almost feels like she's becoming a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then I have this little baby. It feels good. Like the idea that Gemma is going into the second grade, like that she's way more self-sufficient. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Her attitude is getting huge, which is hard because we've got this little baby like crying over here. And then this like sassy attitude girl, which is hard, but it's fine. As far as the girl thing, I have a sister. And then my sister has two daughters. So it's almost, I feel like it's the only thing I know. So I would never, I mean, I wouldn't change it. I would have, I wanted girls maybe because I knew that that was, I mean, that's all I know. So it's all in my mind, that's my script.
I want to talk about color and shapes. I was on your website earlier and that phrase really stood out to me. What moves you to create color and shapes? Because your abstract pieces blow my entire mind. Like, I love them. They are gorgeous. What calls you to certain colors and certain shapes? Do seasons have a part of that? Do your feelings have a part in that? How do you get to where the piece starts and then when it ends?
When I was pregnant with my first daughter, I started making pieces that were more abstract. I feel like, and then when I was pregnant with my second kid, I started doing it again. And I feel like it's because I'm looking for balance. Like, and the work is really about like balance, shape, and the weight of shapes, the way they lean on each other, fold on each other. I feel like they're kind of like rearranging my internal furniture, if that makes sense.
It does.
And so when I do them, I find a lot of peace. Or questions being answered. I don't know. There's just something that's very soothing to me. As far as the colors go, I don't feel like they're seasonal, and I do feel like I gravitate towards certain colors. And sometimes, like certain colors, really make me feel certain things. Like I love the color. I love coral and all like pinks. So I find myself using those kinds of colors a lot. And what I've been really experimenting with lately is like throwing in a color that is just so off-putting and working around that color to find color balance or harmony, especially with a color in there that feels like, ooh, that gives me the funny feeling. I don't like that color. And my inclination is like, I'm just going to paint over it. But then I spend time like sitting back and looking and thinking like, well, how can I make that color more appealing? What other colors can I put around it to make it feel warm and cozy as opposed to like poopy and cold or something?
Yeah, I totally get that. And I actually have one of your paintings as the background on my phone. And
I totally do.
And I love the stacking that you use in your abstract art. It makes me feel like I can kind of, this is going to sound weird, but I know art makes you feel different things, but I can relate to kind of the heaviness of some of the blocks or shapes, and then the lightness of the colors that intertwine with the light colors and the dark colors. It just makes me feel good. And I know that's what art is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel good. And it's supposed to make you feel things, you know, even if it's not necessarily good things. It's like, I feel something here. And I really appreciate artists like you who are able to translate feelings from paint and texture and just shapes. I think that it's magical because I am not an artist. I literally can't even make a stick figure. And it's so funny because Charlie is an artist. Mm. She can look at something and draw it and it look exactly like the thing that's in front of her. And that is just, it's magical to me how people's brains work that way when it comes to art. So we've touched on motherhood, we've touched on self-care, we've touched on art, of course. And the last question I want to ask you is, who are you today?
Today? Who am I today?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
In addition to being a mother, a wife, an artist, as you stand or sit where you are today, who do you feel that you are?
Oh God, who am I today? Well, I am a mother who has a full day in the studio, which is very exciting.
Yes.
I don't know. How do other people answer that question? I mean, I feel like some of the things that I've been sort of grappling with lately are, I don't know if they're who I am.
There's no right or wrong way to answer either. And this is my first time asking this question, so I'm very excited about it.
Oh, good. Well, because I mean, there's some things that like I've been really like chipping away at how to envision and expand my businesses, you know, make them more and bigger. Like I want more. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this for a really long time and I keep finding people who I think might be able to help me like expand that business. And then the universe comes down and like something happens and then that person just disappears. Mm. It's almost as like, and I feel like right now who I am is I'm trying to trust that the time will be right when it's time. And that I'm all the preparation and all the envisioning and all the things that I'm doing and then I'm thinking and all that is all sort of like pre-work for that expansion. So I'm trying to be patient, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It absolutely makes sense.
Just trying to like just trust and be patient and neutral. Like let things just be what they are. It's really hard because I'm a go, go, go. Mm-hmm. I'm a go. I want it now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's who I am. I'm just a lady trying to be patient.
There you go.
That's all.
That's it. What I am. I love that. I love that. So with that said, I just want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us today. This was a really fun conversation for me. Before we go, please let everyone know where they can find you, your art, and your brand on the internets.
Well, I've got my fine art website, jengarito.com. I've got my home textile line, jennypennywood.com. I will be having a solo show in Austin in June at a gallery called Wally Workman. So if you're in Austin, please come and visit. CSUN's coming out. So that's shopcsun.com. And we're going to be launching our new collection in maybe next month.
I'm so excited for CSUN, by the way. I was so sad when you guys first said, you know, we're going to be going away for a little bit. I was like, no, please.
But I was sad too. I'm happy we're redoing it. It's exciting. I was not ready to be done at the time, but it really was like perfect timing because I was pregnant and I don't know why I think I can do. I feel like I can do everything. Yeah. And then
the universe quickly is like, girl, slow down.
I know.
That's me too.
But it's like my nature. It's like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. No. Yeah. And then I'm like,
yeah,
that's possible and not possible all at the same time.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for offering your art with me, with the world. And I am so excited for what's to come for you. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for asking me. Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Talk later. Bye.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.